Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special presentation. From high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from now, the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. What follows is the 2022 Park County Republican Party gubernatorial debate that was held on August 11th in Cody, Wyoming. This is the original live stream audio, and I'm going to play it for you in its entirety. So, without further ado, here we go. Good morning and welcome to the 2022 Park County Republican Gubernatorial Forum featuring Mark Gordon, Rex Rammel, and Brent Bean. I'm your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the gates of Yellowstone National Park in Cody, Wyoming. This broadcast is brought to you by the generous sponsors of Cowboy State Politics, Morton Buildings, 307 Cowboy Country, the Winget Food Truck, and Gunrunner Auctions. Good morning, my friends, and we'll get started here in just a few minutes. We're waiting for all the candidates to enter the room and get started here. We've got about 8 minutes before the broadcast, so just hang tight and we'll get started soon. All right, we've got about 4 minutes to go. Governor Gordon
folks,
is here.
We can get everybody to take their seats. We're going to begin in just a few minutes, just about 5 minutes. So if you need to run to the restroom, get coffee, now's your last chance. Thank you.
Okay, well, you heard the man. Got about 4 minutes to go. Now, the last debate was held in Buffalo, Wyoming, and Governor Gordon was not able to attend. But if you'll recall, the last debate ended in a little bit of fireworks with Rex Rammel storming off the stage after being questioned about some of his comments concerning Colonel Behan's military record throughout the debate. And like I said, he ended up storming off the stage in response to a couple of questions from some members of the audience asking him to apologize to Colonel Behan. But as I said, he stormed off the stage. So we're here in Cody, and we've pretty much got a packed room here at the Holiday Inn. So we'll get started here in about 3 minutes. So get yourself a cup of coffee and get ready for the 2022 Park County Republican Gubernatorial Forum. And here we go.
All right, folks, we'll go ahead and get started. I don't know if I could ask everyone to take their seats. Unfortunately, we've got one of our candidates that may be stuck in traffic or have difficulty getting here. Rex Rammel has not appeared thus far. If he does come, we will blend him in the middle of the debate. I'm Bob Ferguson, the vice chair of the Park County Republican Party. I'd like to welcome you to the Park County gubernatorial debate sponsored by the Park County Republican Party. And give you a reminder, if you would please, at this time, silence all cell phones. And as we get into the debate, I'd like to ask you to please hold your applause until the end, until all candidates have finished their closing statements. The questions for this forum have been derived from questions we received from the public and the Park County Executive Committee. Brief introduction of our candidates. To my right, we have Governor Mark Gordon. And to my left, we have candidate Brent Behan. And if Rex Rammel shows up, he'll be obviously here in the center. At this time, I'd like to ask you all to stand and please remove cover for the prayer. Pat Alpern, Pastor Pat Alpern from Cody Cowboy Church will be delivering it.
Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we come to you and I just praise you for being in the country in which we have a say who governs us and in a great state. Lord, we just pray for your anointing on this meeting, on this debate. May everything we say and do glorify you. And we just pray for your direction. Lord, we just pray that you put your man in leadership. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And now I'd like to ask veteran Vince Venata to come lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Vince. Explanation for the rules and the format of the debate. We will begin. We had a random draw. That random draw was Governor Gordon, Rex Ramel, and Brent Behan for the questioning. And then we got a random draw for closing statements. The first question will be to, since we just have both two candidates at this point, the first question will be to both candidates with no response and no rebuttal for a two-minute answer. Then we will move into a debate portion where a candidate will receive a question for a two-minute response. The opposing candidate will have an opportunity for a two-minute response, and then the original question will be able to have a one-minute rebuttal. We have a timekeeper over here that will hold up flags with 1 minute left, a flag with 30 seconds left, and then a red flag. And you all know how bad red flags are. So, and then if time permits, which I think it will, we will go back and forth to questions that are just to the candidates without a response. So, thank you very much. Enjoy the debate. All right, we'll start in with a question to Governor Gordon first. Actually, this question will be to both candidates without an opportunity for a response. Last month, the Supreme Court sided with West Virginia and ruled against the Environmental Protection Agency, overriding their ability to issue regulations on greenhouse gas emissions for coal-fired power plants. In recent years, regulation by fiat from federal agencies has almost become a fourth branch of government. How do you feel that this ruling will impact Wyoming's fossil fuel industry, and what do you see as the far-reaching implications for the state's fight against regulation from other federal agencies such as BLM and Fish and Wildlife?
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you to the Park County Republicans for this forum today. And let me just say from the outset, I really miss my good friend Foster. It is wonderful to have Lynn Fries endorse me. And it's, I think, because Foster and I spent a lot of time talking about how Congress should set the rules, not regulation. And when we have folks that are extending regulations well beyond what they should be, we need to have, and we finally do have, a Supreme Court that has said enough is enough. Congress needs to make those actions. What this means for Wyoming is extraordinary. I, as you probably know, was one of the plaintiffs in that West Virginia suit, Wyoming was. We also had our own fights with coal plants that are being closed here in Wyoming. I worked very hard and, in fact, set an EO saying that we will not close Jim Bridger Power Plant. And as a result, and the fact that we were threatening to sue on that, as a result, we still have that power plant in place. It's allowed us to be able to move forward and protect our legacy industries, and I will continue to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan.
Okay, well, thank you, folks. It's so good to be back in Cody and see so many familiar faces. And Governor, I appreciate your time this morning. I think it's a fantastic decision. I think it's well overdue. I think we have to remember that regulations are not laws, and that only Congress are the ones that actually are to make those laws. My stance on this is I do believe that coal, gas, oil are just as much our future as they were our past. They are the reason why we are the supreme nation in the world and why we are the most sovereign nation in the world. And I will tell you, I'm sure a lot of you folks remember here several months ago, Cowboy State Politics came out with the EPA going to fine Wyoming for causing 1% of Denver's air pollution. I went through the roof, got on the phone right away, and told the EPA that I said, as the future governor of this state, I will not honor any of these fines that cannot be conclusively proven, and we know that they can't. And we went through a whole series of discussions, bottom line is I will not allow that in this state. And I will do everything I possibly can to increase and to promote our fossil fuels, because we know that that is the lifeblood here in Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. The next question will be to Governor Gordon for a two-minute answer with a two-minute response to Brent, and then a one-minute rebuttal. Governor Gordon, you received some criticism for Wyoming's COVID response. Why did you allow your appointed health director to assume so much power? And given a similar set of circumstances in the future, what would you do the same and what would you do differently? In addition, as of this past July, unvaccinated members of the Wyoming National Guard will no longer receive pay, training, or retirement credit. Do you have a plan to alleviate the vaccine requirements for Wyoming National Guard members?
Thank you, Bob, for that question. You know, hindsight is 2020, and after President Trump declared the emergency, we went into a number of exercises across the nation. I stood with Kristi Noem shoulder to shoulder to push back against his order that said we should have a stay at home. He eventually, that week actually, released that, and we made sure to push back against any stay at home orders. And I'm glad to say that we prevailed in a number of lawsuits, OSHA, MSHA, Occupational Safety and Hazard Organization. And this issue that you brought up is one that I've been fighting as a member of the Council of Governors for some time. The Council of Governors is the governor's really liaison to the standard military. We led an effort with a number of other Republican governors that said, Secretary Austin, you have no right to tell Wyoming Guard or any state guard how we're going to deal with our troops. They're our troops. Now, there are two ways that Guard troops are deployed, and when they drill under federal supervision and federal funding. Secretary Austin wrote us back and said, thanks very much, but we're not going to do that. I continue to pursue that fight, and I'm very happy to tell you that we are continuing at this point, and I believe we have some relief on the horizon that will allow our soldiers to continue to serve not only the nation, but the state. We have also said that no soldier in Wyoming Guard will lose their Wyoming state pay. It is federal pay, federal benefits that we're fighting for.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan.
Folks, the reason why I'm standing here today is because of our response, the state's response to COVID. I look and we compare it to South Dakota. You know, we are 300,000 people fewer and 20,000 square miles bigger. And we have the jet stream, the way it comes across Wyoming, we know that it blows every day in Wyoming, just about everywhere else. So we got the cleanest air out there. So I could not believe that we had these mandates that came down. And I understand, there was a lot of ambiguity in the beginning. I totally get that. But it's one of those things when it comes down to delegation of authority that you cannot delegate that responsibility, particularly with an unelected official. And that's what we're talking about here. And that's what led to so much ambiguity down in the counties. When it comes down to constitutional liberties, folks, that decision lies squarely with the governor and with our legislature. And the government's number one job is to protect our constitutional liberties. And whether it's here or particularly nationally, they've done nothing but fail with it. And they've really come after this, and we've seen it. Again, we have to take the lessons learned from what happened. We know it's going to happen again, most likely with this federal government, particularly the Biden administration. But I tell you, I will, and I applaud the efforts on trying to get our National Guard, in line, or I guess when it comes down to the pay. And I will definitely continue that because I do understand the gravity of that situation and the overreach federally.
Thank you. Governor Gordon, you have an opportunity for a one-minute rebuttal.
Well, thank you. So the statute that allowed health officers to be able to do the things that they did was one that was passed many years ago with smallpox. I led the fight to actually remind the legislature that they should have a role in being able to deal with that. When a health emergency is called, and one of the things we knew was that a number of people were going to be not coming to Wyoming because travel was shut down. We needed those emergency dollars to be able to help people. And I'm glad to say that about half of the CARES funding went to small businesses directly, kept people in business. And another third of that remainder went to schools, and another third of that remainder went to help directly with farm programs. So we made sure that the CARES dollars came. We needed that for the emergency. But I will tell you going forward, that won't happen again because we changed the legislation.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. The next question will be directed to Brent Behan. Wyoming has recently been impacted by a number of financial issues that have a material effect on our ability to manage a path towards a balanced budget. Some of those financial issues are CARES Act infusions, mineral royalty reductions, significant property tax increases across the state. What is your vision for the future to stabilize the revenues and expenditures impacting the state's budget?
Boy, this is a loaded one. I tell you what, this is something we need to do. We need to do it right away. And, you know, we haven't been cash-based budgeting in this state has not been talked about for years. Okay, we're talking close to 30 years. And the way I look at this is we know that the Biden administration is coming very heavily after our fossil fuels. So what we have to do here is we have to get our budgeting process squared. I'd like to see the entire thing performance-based because, folks, it's the way we do our home budgeting. Okay, we've got to do that in Cheyenne. We've got to demand accountability. And that does include property taxes. It includes school reform. I'm very much for school choice because I do believe that that injects competition into the system. We're spending so much money on education right now, and we're not getting our bang for the buck. Okay, as soon as you instill competition between the public and private, two things happen. You know, you get better quality with lower cost. Also, with property taxes, I'm very much for acquisition value across the board. That needs to happen. Okay, we need to do that. And we do whatever needs to happen with to get our budget in better posture, okay, to weather these bad federal storms. We need to do that. We need to do it now. Now, what I will make one comment on is that, you know, close to $1 billion that was received in ARPA. Folks, I'll just tell you, the way I viewed this is this was putting a price tag on freedom, and I will tell you right now that there is no price tag on it, and it did tie our hands to quite a few things.
Governor Gordon, you have the opportunity for a two-minute response.
Well, thanks, and as the governor who's given you the leanest budget in 10 years, as the governor who has dealt with two of the most dramatic reductions in our revenue sources, I know how difficult it is to cut that budget. And Wyoming, for the first time in its entire history, had no oil rigs running in the state in 2020. Our oil was trading at negative values. Coal was under attack, as we've talked about. We lost one-third of our revenue. The state was forced to reduce how we had spent our money, and we did that. Sometimes we got to a point where it kind of hurt. I remember my friend Martin Kimmett calling me and saying, what's this about rest areas? Well, folks, what we did was we closed the rest areas that were within 5 miles of the town because we thought that that would save us several million dollars. That's how dire it was. We were able to get those open again using some of those CARES dollars because people really depend on them. But I will tell you that going forward with the budget on the efficiency, we've taken work from an efficiency study that was provided by consultants a few years ago. Those same consultants wanted to go on and spend more money to help us do more. Sort of, you have to buy the next installment. We said no. Since most of that work came from us, we're going to start again. I am happy to report to you that we're back up to 2014 levels with severance tax and federal mineral royalties. And what's really exciting, and I think this is part of what we did by pushing to open the park 2 weeks before the national government wanted to, 2 weeks before any of our neighboring states, we got tourism back into Wyoming. And that has made a difference because we are back to near record levels of sales tax. And on property tax, I support the efforts of the legislature to look at ways that we can reduce that going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. And Brent, you have the opportunity for 1 minute rebuttal.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of, the governor talks efficiency, and that's one thing that people are demanding. Okay, that's one reason why so many folks around the state, do not trust what's going on down in Cheyenne. And I will tell you, it's something that we have to work on. We have to demand that. And transparency through efficiency is absolutely necessary in our state. And we also have folks, and I'm sure many of you are well aware, we have so many state and government buildings that are unoccupied right now. It's like, what in the world are we doing with all these buildings? Let's offload these things because we're paying for them. We're paying a lot for them. But we also need to go in and figure out what are essential and non-essential services And then inside those essential services, figure out what the essential and non-essential tasks are and start matching full-time employees with it. And then that way, thereby leaning our government, because we need to do that. Again, we need to be better postured to push back better against bad federal policy.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. The next question will be directed towards Governor Horton initially. Wyoming's fossil fuel industry is under attack from all sides, despite the fact that fossil fuel resources from states like Wyoming account for over 60% of all produced electrical power. The recent federal budget reconciliation plan will double the taxes on our coal industry, which accounts for 21% of all electrical power generated. Yet you have agreed with some of the climate change agenda, calling it the single most important issue on earth. At a time when states like Texas and California are experiencing brownouts due to their shift towards renewables, what will you do specifically going forward to protect and support Wyoming's fossil fuel industry from federal regulation?
Well, thanks. And here's a place where I have a proven track record. First off, when you look at how people are trying to invest internationally and nationally right now, there's a whole bunch of what's called ESG, environment, social, and governance investing. People are refusing to invest in fossil fuel companies, and that is really a big problem for a state like Wyoming. It has affected our coal industry because it's almost impossible to get bonding in place. So one of the first things I did was to say, we in Wyoming can help provide, not at taxpayer expense, but we can provide a conduit to help with coal mine bonding so they can continue to operate. That's essential because bonding's getting very, very expensive. The other point that I make about this is that Wyoming is an all of the above energy state. And to the point that Bob, you made just a moment ago, we can't get rid of fossil fuels, but we can make sure that they get invested in and that they improve in their efficiency and in the way they deliver the electricity that they generate, which is why North Dakota and Wyoming are leading the nation on issues of carbon capture and sequestration. Those things are going to be vital. Now, some people may say it's expensive, doesn't make sense, and we shouldn't do that. But I will tell you, if you look at Dave Johnson, which is a power plant in Natrona County about to be retired, Dave Johnson has the opportunity with carbon capture to be able to put CO2 flood into the muddy field and generate about $1 billion for Wyoming. I think it's time we invest to make sure that our legacy industries like coal, oil, and gas, and I used to work for an oil and gas company, have the opportunity and the investment climate to be able to move forward. But we'll, in Wyoming, be able to generate all types of energy. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Bean, two-minute response.
Okay, big question here, obviously, folks. And we know that this federal policy is very anti-Wyoming. And it's one reason why we have to stand up against this. ESG being brought in here, environmental social governance scoring system, is very globalistic. And we have to realize that globalism is our number one threat as we go forward. I fully intend to divest in any company, any business, any bank that deals in ESG scoring. Okay, it's something that we have to stop, that we at least have to push back on. And this also goes along with the $25 billion or so that we have in the bank that happens to be under J.P. Morgan Chase, not titled in Wyoming, but controlling interest through BlackRock, which is very much an ESG promoter. These are the things we need to look at. I will tell you this, is that when it comes down to defending Wyoming, standing up for Wyoming, you know, I will pursue any state or any entity, okay, that keeps us, okay, from selling our product to whatever market we want overseas. Okay, and we know we're having a problem with Washington State and Oregon right now. We're having to go through British Columbia to get our coal out of here. We got to do that. I also, one of the biggest issues with our coal with Powder River Basin is they can't get enough trains. Folks, we have trains sitting dormant right now over there, and we got to get those trains in there to get this coal out of here. So it's one of those things about being very aggressive against those folks who are preventing us from doing that. And really, it's a mindset, folks. I have never and will never buy into the climate change agenda as we go forward. And that will dictate how I do policy. And I think, you know, I do believe in market-driven. It's got to be market-driven. Okay, market-driven green, but not the way not with this heavily subsidized. People come to Wyoming to see our vistas and the beauty of our state, not to see a bunch of turbines and solar panels.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. Governor Gordon, you have the opportunity for 1 minute rebuttal. Please hold your applause till the end of the debate.
Now, Brent's absolutely right. Our vistas are being destroyed by wind. And, you know, that's sort of one of the big challenges is that capital has gone in. And anybody who thinks that wind farms are set up by, you know, mom and pops has got to think again. This is where venture capital has gone. It's gone away from traditional fossil fuels, and it's gone towards wind development with the tax incentives that are there. And tax incentives are screwing up the entire marketplace. One of the reasons I brought a suit, which never actually got through, to protect our access to markets on the constitutional clause was because we did need to have access, and we're continuing to work on that through, unfortunately, now Mexico. But what I want to tell you folks is that the way that we are going to be able to establish that Wyoming is an energy leader is by moving our technologies forward. And we have to do that by doing a better job of explaining how you can make climate change work with using fossil fuels. Can't do it with renewables.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. The next question will be addressed to Candidate Behan. Currently, the Office of Attorney General is an appointed position that serves at the pleasure of the governor. Upon election to that office, would you appoint a new Attorney General or continue with the current appointment? Why or why not? Also, do you favor an amendment to the Wyoming Constitution to make the Attorney General an elected position rather than an appointment?
Okay, well, first off, I intend over time, you know, initially after getting in there, I have a very short list of attorneys general nominees. Okay, and folks, I can assure you that that these nominees, all of them have more than teeth, but actually have fangs. And that's what we need. Okay, we need somebody who's going to actually stand up for Wyoming and do our bidding for us and be very proactive across the board. And so that's my intent with those nominees. I do believe that that should be an elected position. Right now, it's not. So it is up to our legislatures and the people around the state to demand, if that's what they want, to have that an elected position to do what's required to do a constitutional change and make that happen up to the governor's office.
Governor Gordon, 2 minute response.
Okay, thank you. You know, this question was asked a little while ago about electing an attorney general, and I remember being running with Harriet Hageman. And Harriet and I agreed on the point that an elected attorney general is simply somebody who's trying to become governor. And so when you look at states like New Mexico, like Nebraska, like Louisiana, you don't have a consistent message coming from the state. What you have is two people vying for each other's position. And one of the most interesting points that happened was in New Mexico, where communications were not being delivered to the Attorney General from the governor's office and vice versa, simply because they were trying to set up for the next election. So I do not think that it is a good idea to have an elected Attorney General. The Attorney General that I chose, I said one thing. I want you to do the law. I want you to do the law, precisely. I am not interested in the political aspect of this. I want you to make sure that whatever we do is 100% according to the law. And I will continue to say that our Attorney General needs to stay with that stance. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan, 1 minute rebuttal.
Well, the Secretary of State, as we know, is the I guess the de facto governor if the governor's not there. So it's one of those things to where we can depending upon how if we do get that constitutional amendment inputted, to where we can make sure that stays intact. Again, I do think that the people should have an opportunity to weigh in here on who their Attorney General should be the best elect to best represent the state.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. The next question will be directed to Governor Gordon for a 2 minute response from each candidate. No rebuttal. Grizzly bear management within the state of Wyoming has become a contentious matter affecting many Wyomingites and the state as a whole. If the federal government continues to list the grizzly bear and the wolf as endangered species, essentially denying management by Wyoming Game and Fish. Do you favor withdrawing logistical, administrative, financial, and law enforcement support currently enjoyed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services?
Yes. Last year, we in fact did that with Bear 399, the bear that was down well below Hoback, and we said, look, this is your bear. You need to take care of it. They did not. Eventually, that bear, in the middle of the night, ambled back through Jackson downtown, and then it went and down. This year, and we told them this, this year, of course, one of the cubs that everybody loves, it's a Facebook cub, had to be euthanized. And we explained that in the history of grizzly bear management, you know, these bears are adaptable. They're supposed to be wild, but they're becoming much more tame, and they're a problem. You have bears that are in cornfields in Cowley. You have bears that have killed people in Wyoming. And it is just an awful problem. That's why we led an effort to petition the removal of the Yellowstone bear from the endangered species list. We did that because we have a recovered population here. It's been delisted twice before. I'm a little bit disappointed that Montana decided to do the same thing, because our whole point was we wanted to find a different jurisdiction to be able to proceed. With the wolf, we continue to fight, and Wyoming has a good management plan. It's been proven over time, and I will stand for it every single time. But if we have a problem with the Fish and Wildlife Service, we will withdraw our support. We've put $8 million, more than $8 million, into bear management. We need to allow people in Wyoming to manage the resources here, wildlife resources. And that's why I made sure when they were going to euthanize goats in Grand Teton, that I said, those are our goats. We'll have our hunters hunt them. Thank you.
Mr. Bean?
I agree very much with the governor on this one. I do think that this is the state's Wyoming has a far better capability here to manage, because we live here. And, you know, whether it's the bears, whether it's the wolves, whether it's the horses, and we know that anytime we try, particularly with these horses, you know, we're feeding these horses down in Rock Springs. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me how this is working. And, of course, we're well above our allowable management level on those horses. And every time we try to reduce the population, we always get pushback. It's one of those things, too, that we need to change the paradigm. We've got to make sure that these landowners, these stock growers out there are not guilty until proven innocent, that it's the other way around. Okay, because, you know, if a bear comes out of the park, if a wolf comes off the reservation, okay, they should be innocent until proven guilty, but that's not the way it's been working. And but I do agree with what the governor's saying on here. I will gladly pull funds from what's going on with our state the management of wildlife, because I do believe, hands down, that we can do this far better than the federal government, simply because we live here. And then lastly is you know, I'm familiar with this bear down in Jackson, and one thing too that needs to happen here is accountability. Okay, there's a lot of folks that have moved into Jackson, and they are actually putting in an effort to try to get moose down there and elk inside Jackson, they're putting food out. Well, of course, the bears come. So there's got to be a level of accountability for the people who actually do that, because you're right. These bears are becoming domesticated, and we can't do that. That just does not interact well with the with population.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Since we're running ahead of schedule, since we've only got two candidates, we'll go ahead and continue with the 1 minute rebuttal. Governor Gordon, if you have a 1 minute rebuttal.
Actually, no. I am delighted that Brent brought up the horses. This is another issue where we are constrained with our management of horses, and it's a problem for wildlife. Right now, when we have a drought condition, we have horses that are scaring away our deer and our elk and our antelope from water holes, and people are not understanding that wildlife, while horses can be managed and can be managed successfully and must, in fact, be managed successfully if we are going to keep the same species that we all love to hunt, we all love to see. Thanks.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. The next question will be directed to Candidate Bean. What is your position on transgender athletes completing in high school and college sports in Wyoming? Would you favor a legislation to limit the participation of these athletes to their gender of their birth?
Well, I'm against it. And I would favor legislation to protect, and particularly women's sports, girls' sports. I mean, we have to do that. You know, it's one of those things we've seen across the nation, just how secular this I call it, it's one of the four what I call cults that are driving our nation right now. They're globalist cults. And folks, you know, bottom line is God doesn't make mistakes. He just doesn't. So it's one of those things to where, you know, we have to stand up for this. We have to realize that gender fluidity is a cult promulgated by the left. Okay, and they're starting with our children. We know that. I will absolutely. I mean, there was some legislation that was drafted this last session to protect women's sports, and it didn't make it. Okay, that's one of those things. It didn't make the floor. That's one of those things that I will sign immediately. We've got to do that. And also with Title IX, with the USDA and lunch money, I'm sure everybody's familiar with this. Bottom line, folks, is absolutely not. We are not going to do that. There's three restrooms in this state. That's male, female, and family, period. And as soon as we start making exceptions for a particular sect of society, that means that we're taking away from the rest. And our Constitution covers everybody equally, and that's where I stand on this issue.
Yeah.
Yes. Please hold your response until the end of the debate. Thank you. Governor Gordon, 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And I think Brent's right on here. One of the things that we did right from the start was to establish in mixed martial arts fighting that there could be no transgender athletes by rule. That came through my desk and I signed it. We've also looked at what the Wyoming High School Athletic Association has done in establishing rules, and I support those. If the legislation comes, I will look at the legislation and I will sign it if it makes sense. There's no question about that. It is ridiculous that we are trying to identify everybody by some set of pronouns, by some set of circumstances, when actually our Constitution, as Brent alluded to, in Article 1, Section 3, talks about race, creed, color, any circumstance whatsoever. And I will stand and have stood and have sworn an oath for our Wyoming Constitution and our United States Constitution. We are, at this point, communicating with the USDA and saying, nuts, it's not going to happen here. We're going to make sure that we feed our kids, but we're not going to adhere to some, you know, strange agenda that is being advanced out of D.C.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Bean, a one-minute rebuttal.
Yeah, folks, I'm very, you know, very clear on this issue. I mean, we do know that we already have sanctioned co-ed sports that are out there, but we are specifically talking transgender as per the question. And you know, again, it's one of those things that we have to watch this stuff in our schools, okay? Because we know that all through history, totalitarianism always begins in our schools. It always does. They always attack the children first. They always go after the children first because they're so in influence. And so we have to watch that. We've got to be very involved in our school system and see what's going on because we know it's here. It may not be as prevalent in Wyoming as it is in the rest of the nation, but folks, I assure you it is here. Again, our Constitution covers everybody equally, so we do not need any additional laws.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Next question, I believe we started with Brent, correct? Okay. The next question will be directed to Governor Gordon. We have heard that critical race theory is not officially taught in Wyoming schools. However, we have seen a significant pushing of CRT ideals through other disciplines. What will you do from the governor's office to ensure that CRT ideals and ideology are expelled from Wyoming schools?
Thanks, Bob. You know, when former Superintendent Joanne Bailo and I talked about this before she went to Virginia, we were saying, look, this is coming out of D.C. We need to push back on it. We need to stop it. We need transparency in our curriculum from the school. That has led on into the effort that I established this last year. We're calling the RIDE, which is saying enough of consultants, enough of things coming out of D.C. Let's go to the communities. Let's go to the parents. Let's go to the teachers on the ground and let's go to the folks that really care about the schools. Let's find out if all the assessments we're asking people to teach are in fact valid on the ground for industry, for parents, and valuable in terms of having a kid ready to go out into the world. And what we found is that there are a lot of people that are very interested. The largest response ever to Wyoming survey came back on this one topic, mostly parents. Mostly parents saying, we need to get back to the basics. We need to make sure that our schools have the right things that we're teaching, including CRT. We need to be able to get kids more ready for school. And it's not about seats and seats. It is about getting kids mastered. I do think that when we also led the charge on, and I've signed the rules, we're now looking at charter schools, that will help with school choice. All of these things are, I think, incredibly valuable. They're developed on the ground, locally. I was a former school board member. I believe that's where our education needs to reside, not in D.C., not in Cheyenne, but on the local level with parents involved.
Mr. Beam, two-minute response.
Yeah, folks, there's no question that parents are hands down the best teachers, and they need to be involved in all of this. What I will tell you is it's here, whether it's under the guise of critical race theory, social emotional learning, diversity, equity, inclusion, or any derivative thereof that pits our children against each other because of race has absolutely no business in Wyoming. And because it is a race issue here, you know, my goal will be to enforce federal anti-discrimination law and rid this state of it, because we don't need it. It's one thing if it's an elective at UW or something like that, but it's something completely different being taught and indoctrinating our children. It has absolutely no business here in Wyoming at all. And we do need to re-baseline. Okay, we need to do that. And I look forward to working with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, because I know there's some great plans there. I do believe that a lot of this should be held at the county level. I'm very much for that. But again, I'm also very much for school choice. And, you know, as we look at whether they're vouchers or whether it's some sort of education savings account, you know, both Arizona and Florida have a great system going right now. And, you know, this is one of those things that where parents have to be involved. Okay, and it starts at the school board level. I've attended many school board meetings over in Sheridan County. And I've left dismayed every time, because it really appears that the school boards believe that they do own our children. And that can't be the case. But folks, it does start here. It starts at the grassroots. It starts at the ground level on making sure that we get those folks that understand what education is about and make sure they're elected onto the school boards.
Governor Gordon, 1 minute rebuttal.
Well, thanks again, Bob. And this is probably the most important issue I think Wyoming faces at this point. We need to make sure that we have very good schools and lots of choice. And the reason we need to have those, because that's what's going to bring families here. Families are the people that make the economies of towns work. They're the people that care about what Main Street looks like. They're the people that care about what their kids are going to be doing and how they play. They're the kids, and in Wyoming, I think there is no better place to raise kids than a place where you have the opportunities you do to be outdoors, to feel safe walking down the neighborhood, to be part of a school, and to be part of a sports team. All of these things are incredibly important. So I really do look forward to working with whomever comes out of the superintendent's race and continuing this effort to make sure that Wyoming is the preeminent school system in the country. And we're starting at the bottom and we're working all the way up through the community colleges. Thanks.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. The next question will be directed toward Mr. Behan. With the legalization of marijuana throughout the country, high potency THC and marijuana is simply not the same drug it was 10 years ago. The direct adverse effects on youth are well documented, yet the director of Wyoming's Department of Public Health has instructed the state substance abuse prevention specialist to remain neutral on legalization. The Wyoming Education Association has endorsed legalization along with the Democratic Party platform. What is your position on protecting public health versus legalizing this for-profit industry?
Folks, there's no way on my watch that we will legalize pot in this state, period. Right. We just won't do it. You know, and my goal is to make Wyoming the freest state in the nation. It's going to take an all-hands effort from all of us to do it. Okay, and if we don't get to be number one because we didn't legalize pot, folks, that's okay with me. We've seen what's happened around the nation. We've seen what it brings into California, Colorado, all these surrounding states that have brought this in. The same party, you just mentioned the Democratic Party, the same party that always promotes safety of the children is the very same party that's promoting legalization of pot, which we know is targeting the children. Our children, hands down, are our greatest resource. And my answer is absolutely no. And I don't care what kind of financial, things that they bring up to us, financial benefit. Folks, in the end, it's about our kids. And that's really what it comes down to. We see the homelessness around the nation, and it all starts with this. Okay, we see, 16th Street down on Denver. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on in Colorado. We see what it's done around the nation with our workforce. I mean, we're having a hard time getting folks back to work anyway because of all this COVID relief money they're getting. Yeah. And, just imagine, if we were to legalize this at the same case. But again, this is all about targeting the middle class and destroying our country. And my answer here in Wyoming is absolutely no.
Governor Gordon, 2-minute response.
So I have never supported legalizing marijuana, and I won't support it now. I used to work for an oil and gas company. I cannot imagine having a rig hand who is high on that rig. Just not going to happen. As a farmer, not wanting to see anybody doing that as well. What I will say is that in 2018, I heard from a whole bunch of people, mostly down in the Southwest, but most of them over 70. Most of them over 70 who were saying, we need to find some way for relief. You need to look at medical marijuana. I am not particularly interested in medical marijuana for the problems that we've seen in Colorado, for the problems that we've seen in Montana. But folks, if there is a value on a medical basis where there's prescription and there are choices that can be made about that, I think I would be willing to look at the research. And it's up to ultimately the legislature, but I will tell you, I am not interested at all in legalizing marijuana. It is a problem, and it is something that is going to be problematic for Wyoming for a long time. We do have, and this is one of the interesting aspects of this, we have a number of people who are producing hemp in Wyoming, which is a very closely related plant. And we are trying to figure out where that THC level is in hemp to make it legal. We've had a couple of people who have gotten in trouble because they've tested hotter than what the standard is. And so, folks, this is going to be a challenge because if we have farmers who are saying we want to, and actually they're up in this area, several of them, that we want to be able to produce hemp because it's good for building materials, because it's good for fabrics, because it's good for a number of other things. We want to try to figure out how we can enable them to be able to produce the hemp, do it legally and safely.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan, a 1-minute rebuttal.
A lot of very valid points with it. What I will tell you, folks, is please, I'm asking you, please don't buy into the narratives that are out there that are being promulgated by the left. Okay, legalizing marijuana in our state will destroy our state. It just will. Okay, and we cannot allow that to happen. And I can assure you that as governor, I will not sign any legislation, regardless of how this is coming up, to legalize it.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. Next question will be directed to Governor Gordon. Governor Gordon, what is your opinion of Liz Cheney's conduct on the January 6th commission? Do you feel that her involvement as our sole congressional representatives is serving the people of Wyoming?
Thanks, Bob. And I've been pretty clear on this. I would not have made the vote that she did, and I don't think I would have pursued the agenda she has. Other than that, people have often said you need to step forward and take a position on this race. As governor, that is not the tradition that we have in Wyoming, and it is not something I would do. I do believe that I would have acted differently if I were in her position. I don't think the January 6th Commission has enlightened very much of anything about public discourse. I think it appears to have been a little bit of a mission, and I hope we get past this as quickly as possible, because our country needs to move forward. I have talked with a number of Republican governors, and I've talked with a number of Republicans in Congress. We have an agenda. And folks, when we talk about energy, when we talk about agriculture, when we talk about the economy, when we talk about what our military posture needs to be, when we talk about how we as a nation need to reduce government, not expand government, these are all Republican platform pieces. They're all part of the Republican agenda, and they're lost. They're lost by getting mixed up on this other issue. I believe very strongly that our country has bright days to come. I believe very strongly this Congress will change, and we will have a half-term president. And I believe very strongly we will have a Republican president in office in 2024. And that, my folks, is my hope for Wyoming. Thank you.
Yay. Mr. Behan, 2-minute response.
I don't agree at all with what she is doing. I do believe that the January 6th commission, I do believe it's one of those, it's very partisan commission. And I think once we see what, we're starting to see what the intentions of it are. It's one of those things we got to watch federally because we see this, what appears to be a witch hunt. We saw it where they say, with former President Trump. We see this going on around the nation right now. And we have to wonder why. Okay, this is not the America that's defined in our Constitution. Okay, this is the type of government we would see that's quickly segueing and transitioning into some sort of banana republic, and we cannot allow that to happen. I will tell you, I've called multiple times to her office in the past, and I've gotten no response. So it's one of those things to where as that representative, whether even our two senators, they are up there to represent us. Okay, just like if you folks send me to Cheyenne, my job is to represent you and to stand up for your constitutional liberties. And so anyway, it's something, I'm sure more to come when this comes out. But it's something we really have to pay keen attention toward.
Thank you. Governor Gordon, 1-minute rebuttal.
Well, I think Brent said a lot of good things here. Here's really where our country is established. We have a constitution, and I have always adhered to that constitution. I brought suit against our executive department on the Capitol, and I brought suit because I wanted to establish the principles that were in the constitution. I prevailed. I do believe that the best thing we have in our government is the fact that we have checks and balances. We have to have those. We have three branches of government, and they each have their role to play. So while it's not directly responsive, I think we've talked about this, the fact of the matter is that we have the best government because we have the best constitution, and we need to always adhere to those principles. I am proud to have sworn to both constitutions, and I respect it every day of my life.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Next question will be directed to Mr. Behan. The Wyoming Carbon Storage Assurance Facility Enterprise is one of 13 original capture, utilization, and storage sites in the U.S. with the ultimate goal of ensuring carbon storage complexes will be ready for integrated use and system development. We are moving into phase three, which is on the horizon, which is operation and commercialization of carbon storage. What are your thoughts on the project, and should federal and state funding be reduced or eliminated throughout the lifetime of the project? And do you foresee the viability of a private corporation assuming full financial responsibility without government subsidization?
Well, I think the question kind of hits on it in the end. I mean, it's about being market driven. I did go through our Dry Fork power plant over there north of Gillette. It's quite the power plant, but there is significant federal subsidies in this. But we have to remember why this is happening. So much of it's happening because of the Green New Deal, that climate change agenda. Okay, and we have to understand, or at least I do, and I'm sure you folks do too, is that God controls the climate, and the climate's always changed. And, we happen to be toward the end of about 180-year, 179-year cycle with Earth axis. And as soon as that starts changing back, the climate's going to start, going back. That's just the way it is. That's been all the way through. And, I look at these heavy subsidies that are going into this, and you got to ask yourself, why is this happening? We know that carbon is needed for all the trees, all the plants, everything that's out there. And, you know, I look at this as once we clean our forests out, which we need to do, is let's start planting some more trees here. But I do think this needs to be segued into transitioned into the private sector, because that's and the reason why it's not is because it's not market driven yet. They know it's very expensive. It's not profitable right now. And so much of it's based on purely conjecture and supposition. So, you know, once we find out that there's actually a way to use this stuff, okay, but let the private sector do that, not the government.
Thank you. Governor Gordon, 2-minute response.
Thanks. So Wyoming is leading in this field of endeavor, and it's important to remember that right now energy policy is being driven by tax policy. So it's really cheap to stand up new wind power. That's what Congress and the administration has wanted to do. It's really easy to be able to pick on coal miners and say we need to shut down coal plants. That's the fight we've been trying to reverse for some time. The issue isn't here in the country. The issue is overseas in the third world, where China is building enormous amounts of coal capacity with no regard to climate. And evidently this administration, this Biden administration, thinks it's better to develop oil and gas in Venezuela than it is to do it here, where we have the very best regulation and the very best circumstances. What we do need to do is just make sure that this is set up as a market system. And there, folks, Wyoming is attempting to work very hard to make sure that we provide a way for farmers and ranchers, and indeed foresters, to be able to get some compensation for being able to demonstrate, and we can do this with the University of Wyoming, be able to demonstrate the sequestered carbon that every farmer needs to grow their crops. We need to be able to make sure that those people who are at this point checking off a box and saying, I want to do something about climate change, and that money's going to Elon Musk, they need to make sure that they're actually seeing that put in the ground with farmers and ranchers here in Wyoming and around the West. We're trying to get that established. CO2 flooding can do a remarkable job in what's called secondary and tertiary recovery of our oil reserves. Just in the news the other day, there was a talk about a huge find, which most of which cannot be recovered. But with better technology, better floods, and better opportunities, that oil can be recovered. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan, a 1-minute rebuttal.
Sure. I think, you know, we look at this at the left's agenda here. And really, the ultimate goal here is subjugation, and that's via compliance, conformance, control. Okay, if they really believed in this climate change, then they would want Wyoming coal over in China because it's hands down the cleanest coal in the world. Utah's got some real clean coal too, but we see us being pushed back all the time. Again, these climate change folks that are out there should want that. They should want our coal over there, but that's not what's happening. Okay, so there's far more to it than what meets the eye, and I think we just have to be aware of really what's going on here.
Thank you very much. Before we move on to our closing statements, we received one question from a father here in Cody that I'd just like to direct to each of you without a rebuttal necessarily. I will read it directly. The doctor here in Cody has a son that is accepted into UW's anesthesiology school, but they required a COVID vaccine. He won't do it. What will you do to change this policy to keep our children here in Wyoming for school?
So I'm unaware of that circumstance, but I will be glad to talk to the president of the university and the trustees to see what we can do to make sure that there are exemptions. You know, we have religious exemptions. We've provided lots of other exemptions. University is a little bit different animal than state government. But just like we're doing with the National Guard, we're providing as many exemptions as we possibly can. And, you know, when you look at the effectiveness of these vaccines, it's pretty clear they're not that valuable. So we actually need to have a much better posture on this.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Mr. Behan?
It's hard to believe that a land-grant university is in the business of keeping people, students, from attending unless they take an unproven vaccine. You know, I do look at the leadership. I know that UW takes a lot of federal money. I know that they also take Chinese money to do some research in there. So we got to ask ourselves first, why is this happening? You know, I do personally believe that UW Board of Trustees, should be elected, vice appointed. And you know, it's one of those things with accountability with the University of Wyoming. I mean, I love the school. I graduated from there. But I don't like where a land-grant university is going right now. We need to look at funding, state funding at this, until they start pulling these requirements, these vaccine requirements, because all the students got to do it, quite frankly, and that shouldn't happen here.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. We'll now move on to closing statements. Based on our random draw prior to the debate, Mr. Behan, you have the floor for 3-minute closing statement.
Okay, well, folks, thank you so much for being here. And again, Governor, I appreciate your time this morning. There are a lot of challenges ahead of us. And it's one of those things that, you know, tonight or this morning, I've been talking a lot about learning and understanding really what the threat is out there. And folks, it is the threat of globalism. It is. And it's perpetuated by the woke left. And we know that that's all rooted in Marxism, which is the father of communism. And folks, it's coming. It's already here right now. And we have to stand up together and push back. Because folks, none of our material possessions matter if we're not free. Because if we're not free, we don't own them. And, you know, in the end, that's what it really comes down to. And, you know, I am from Wyoming. I am a native of this state. I spent my entire adult life, or a vast majority of it, defending everybody's constitutional rights, both here and in our nation. And, you know, I have had the opportunity to see the end state of tyranny. And I've worked with those folks who've never known freedom and those who never will know freedom. And I realize just how much I take our freedom for granted. And I also realize how fragile our constitutional republic is when left in the hands of those who propose globalism and the globalist cult. So we see it coming, okay? We see all these things coming. And, you know, whether it's the Biden 3030, whether it's all these things associated with it, and we see all these things coming down from the federal government, we have to fight all of them vigorously, because as soon as you put them in a box and realize what's going on, this is all about an all-out assault against the middle class. And folks, the middle class is the absolute backbone of this country. That's what built this country. And the nuclear family, we know, is the heart of the middle class. And that's why we have to really look at our schools. We've got to make sure that we get back to basics on this. Our children, hands down, they are a top resource. They are our purveyors. They're the ones that are going to take the torch after we're up here gone. And we've got to make sure that they are taught our Constitution. They understand the value of being an American, that they want to be a productive member of society and as we go forward. And folks, we've got to do it. And my whole adult life was about leadership, folks, about successfully leading people to achieve desired results well ahead of schedule and under budget. And it's one of those things I know how to do. And it's about framing problems, figuring out what the problems are, and defining courses of action to fix those problems. But folks, it's about all of us in here. Okay, everybody knows that I can't do this via executive fiat, okay, to make us the freest state in the nation. We need that principled conservative legislature to go to Cheyenne. But we need those precinct leaders, we need school board leaders, we need them all the way across the board. Folks, this election is so pivotal. Okay, so we've got to make this happen, this election. And again, I thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for all the support that I've gotten here from Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. And Governor Gordon, 3-minute closing statement.
Thank you. And thanks, Fred, for running. It's an important thing to have competition, and I really appreciate it. Folks, thanks for showing up this morning. Thank you, Bob, for organizing this and allowing that to go forward on a schedule that we could all try to make. It's an important thing to have an opportunity to spend time with your candidates. You know, we didn't talk today about transparency of government. I just wanted to make a couple of points here. When I was elected, I made sure that YOpen, which is the auditor's site that she established and she built, but the two of us led an effort for transparency that resulted in YOpen. You can see every check that's been written out of Wyoming. You can see where it went, and that site was done by her at no taxpayer expense. We set up one because our budget is the most complicated budget in the world. And we set up one that is called Wyoming Sense. And folks, you can go there and look at how the budget process is being done. I have worked for several years now to simplify the budgeting process. We have so many different funds and so many what are called trips and dips and so on, that we really just need to have a simplified budget that people can understand. And that is an effort that I have led substantially for the last actually 6 years, because I started as treasurer saying we need to make sure that we reduce the number of funds so people in Wyoming know where their dollars are going and how they're being spent. We didn't really talk a lot about tourism and how important it is to the state and what we're trying to do to make sure that it isn't just the Northwest that gets the tourists, that it is blended around the state. And we're starting to see that. That's coming with the more with a larger number of tax dollars for sales and use tax that we're seeing from around the state. People are discovering that places like Thermopolis are great places to go. Folks, it has been an honor to serve over the last 4 years. They have been some of the most challenging years, and I'm not complaining about it. When I grew up on the ranch, whatever job I was given, I did. I stood in there, and I continued to do it. I will, and I really, really want to see Wyoming prosper. That's why we're looking at education from the bottom to the top. That's why we're working to diversify our economy. And that's why I will say this. If you remember one thing from this morning, remember that I have a proven track record of standing up to protect your rights against the federal government. Folks, my wife has set up the Wyoming Hunger Initiative without federal dollars, and she has been able to extinguish all of our school lunch debt around the country. We've expanded agricultural production. These have been good years for Wyoming. And I just really want to humbly ask you for your vote and thank you for being here. Brent, thanks again. It's been great. Thanks.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. Thank you, Mr. Behan, for participating in our debate. Thank you to the audience and all the people of Cody that came out so bright and early this morning. I would also like to thank the committee that put this debate together. That's Carol Armstrong, Kelly Ullum, Vince Bonata, Karen Jones, Jessica Lynn Crum, and Donna Merkel, and our timekeeper, Tim Lasser. Thank you very much. And don't forget to go vote next Tuesday. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that'll do it for the Park County Republican Party 2022 Gubernatorial Forum. Thank you once again. From the gates of Yellowstone National Park in Cody, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics. Help someone.